have like a set of set list of questions that we'll go through, and yeah, we can just kind of jump into that. Shaunik's gonna start it off.
Yeah. So as a coach, how has it been dealing with COVID-19, both high school wise and like with your training business now?
It's definitely interesting because I've only been coaching for like 1 year prior without it.
Right.
Doing it now, it's just like an extra thing you have to worry about and kind of work with the kids. Like we just had lifting today. You got to spray the bars. You got to make sure that we're doing the little things, wearing our masks and just trying to not get in trouble, not get the AD in trouble. Like
yeah.
Everyone hates it, but like, it's just, you kind of just got to go through the process and do what you got to do. And I mean, I don't like wearing the mask. That's one thing for sure I really don't like, but.
You have a nice branded Sellington mask?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's hard to talk, and it's like kind of hard to have that connection, but you get by. I mean, it's just annoying, if anything.
How's Coach Jury been dealing with it?
I mean, him especially, not well, because they're just like kind of playing with the kids right now at the CIAC, and I mean, I'm not an expert about everything that's going on, but it's like they're talking about movement. I'm in a text message stream with all these coaches, and they're just talking about what's going to happen, like who's saying what, and the CIAC or the public health. It's just they all have something to say about it. So it's like, are we going to play or are we not? And then they said that we weren't going to play in the spring if we get canceled. So like, that was a huge panic for everyone. Coach Jury is like freaking out. It's like, oh, well, we're not going down without swinging. Like, we're trying to play. Like, even if we get a couple games in, like, and then, you know, someone, just for example, if someone gets sick, whatever, then maybe stop it. Or, like, at least get a couple games in or something. We got to say we at least he tried, because these guys have no other opportunity with film. And, like, that's just, like, another thing. Like, you can't go and play AAU football like you could with basketball, yeah, or baseball. Like, so you can't, you need that football film if you're trying to get that sport scholarships, which a lot of kids are depending on. So, I mean, it's really tough.
Yeah.
Really
so
tough.
Our next question I got is, what advice do you have for your young athletes right now, you know, trying to stay in shape during this time and overcoming adversity? Because I know, you know, Coach Jerry loves his adversity. So
what advice do you have? I would recommend just stay in the weight room and just stay ready. Like he says it all the time, just be prepared for whatever. Like you gotta be able to adjust and take on, because that's what life is. Like you don't really know what's going to happen all the time. You got to adjust, and whatever happens, you gotta take it on full head of steam, and that's it. Like, you know, you just gotta play it by ear, and we'll see what happens. But I would recommend, one thing I would recommend is just be ready. Like, you never know when your opportunity is gonna come. For example, I always share this with my players that when I got to Central and I was able to play there my freshman year, I was like, okay, I can't wait to play. I can't wait to get on the field. And then I actually had an opportunity to get on the field because one of the kids that was in front of me, he got thrown out of school or got kicked out of school for whatever grades. And then this other guy I was learning under, he's actually a coach at Central now, he broke his leg. So I didn't get the red shirt my freshman year, which everyone else in my class got to. So I had to be ready. Like, that's just what it was. So that's kind of like what this is. You just got to be ready for your chance, whenever that may be. I don't know. It's kind of different with the season maybe not happening, but you just got to stay ready.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because that, you know, like you said, with the uncertainty of the season, like there's going to be football at some point. Like, you're going to have that shot again. It's just a matter of who's going to stay ready, who's just going to slack off and not put any work in anymore.
Right. The guys that are putting in the work now are going to be the guys that are successful, and the guys that get the scholarship, and, you know, those guys that, you know, are putting in the extra work and really want it.
Yeah, exactly. What about any advice in particular for receivers right now during these times?
I mean, I would just say to try to get – one thing that's huge with receivers is to get with the quarterback and just develop a chemistry, because I feel like that's one of the things that, like, goes underlooked, is just, like, having that chemistry with your quarterback, like having him be able to throw that fade ball and knowing exactly how fast that receiver is really – it's a huge advantage rather than someone that's not – like best friends with the quarterback or not throwing with the quarterback constantly. Like, you want to have a good rhythm, especially on the fade ball, in my past experiences. But it's always good to just stay with the quarterback, try to throw with him as much as you can, and try to get in any extra work that they're trying to get. So, you know, it's a team thing, so you can hold those guys accountable too.
Yeah.
I definitely second that with you, Mike. I definitely agree with that statement for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I like that a lot, both as a quarterback and as a receiver coach.
Yeah.
What about go ahead, Sean.
We already talked about what CT was doing for the season, so I was gonna move on to when he was when did you develop your love for the game of football? Like, do you remember that? You had like one moment, or did you just love it since you were a kid?
I would say it kind of developed. Well, I started at flag. I mean, right. I'm pretty sure you guys. I don't know. No, that was
they called you. They called you Jake the Snake on the microphone. Was that you?
No, that wasn't me. But at Rec Park, I had a great experience just with youth football in general. Like, I still got my youth helmet up there. I look at it all the time. Like, just good memories. Like, my dad was my coach. So, and my other Steve Hamill, you guys know Steve Hamill.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Coach as well. And he's a character. So it's just like those times are kind of unbeatable. And I fell in love with the game there. I didn't really understand much of the game, though, until I got like, I don't know, until I like kind of developed and matured. Probably my junior year of high school, I really started to figure things out. But there's just like so much to the game that you could learn every year. And just like, there's just so much more happening with new plays, and just like, it never stops. It's like, I tweeted the other day, you're always a student of the game, because you can't like go into the room acting like you're the smartest guy, because there's people with so much knowledge about the game of football, like in other situations and other offenses, defenses, you know. So it's just, there's so much to learn, and like, I just always try to like absorb everything that I could.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, especially because a lot of guys do go in thinking that they know everything, thinking that they're talented, you know, that they're talented enough where they don't have to listen to what's going on, like when the coach is talking, like stuff like that. So I definitely agree with that too. Definitely kind of be a sponge, be a student of the game.
I've had experiences where guys think that they know the position. Like, okay, I already know how to play this. But like, there's always more to learn. There's always more to add to the game that maybe you're great at the X position, you know, why don't you try the Z position, the other side of the field, it's a different route. It's a different, you know, so it's, there's always more. There's always stuff to learn. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, being from Southington and, you know, being such a sports-driven town, you know, what was it like growing up and then taking those steps into high school and then getting on the high school field and being a part of that?
It was exciting, because I don't know if you guys went to the games as a young kid, and like, I would go there when I was playing in youth to the football games and at Southington and see all those guys on the field. I felt like it was never, like, years and years and years away. But in reality, it came so fast. And I'd do anything for my youth and high school football years back, because those are where I had my best memories. Like, just, you don't have to worry about anything when you go home. It's just, you go to school the next day, you see your buddies, like, you know, so those were the best days for sure. It was definitely in Southington. I would not want to live anywhere else in Connecticut. Like, I'm happy I live where I do. Like, I love the high school environment. I love that we have a big high school. I love that our sports programs are good, and that, like, they have pride about what we do. And that's why I like to coach there. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Massachusetts myself. I went to a pretty high school in Mass, and we have really rich football tradition, everything like that. But I kind of feel like Southern Kings honestly similar to us, where you guys have a lot of football tradition. A lot of you guys just kind of love the you know, the whole town seems like you guys all kind of buy into the tradition. And you know, I've seen, you know, a lot of the guys that come from Southington, I feel like, have the strong work ethic and everything like that. So.
For sure, yeah. I think that, like, Coach Drury, these guys know, Coach Drury implements that, like, at day one, even as a freshman. When he comes down to practice and sees those guys, like, he lets them know that, like, the Southington program is different. I don't know whatever you guys have done before, but this is going to be different. Like, we're going to hold you guys accountable. Want you guys to be good people. Like, it's important. Like, the whole town is behind the football team a lot of the time. So, and it's really a good, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great culture. I still don't like Cheshire.
Yeah. Cheshire is a whole nother thing. We hate those guys.
Yeah. It's definitely drilled in the back of our head even today. You know, there's two things: beat Cheshire, and we're running at the end of practice.
That's it. Gotta beat Cheshire, man. But now, this year, we only get to play them. So it's like first time in who knows how long. But they're happy that we're not playing them.
They never want to play us. You know, they talk all that, you know what, but they never want to play us.
No, they're happy about that. That's crazy. No Thanksgiving game this year. That's really different.
No.
I'd imagine that as a senior.
Yeah.
Now, kind of talking more about your high school career. I saw your highlights that you posted the other day. They're definitely pretty legit. And I looked at your stats too. I mean, 29 touchdowns. You hold the state record still, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
So 29 touchdowns in a season. That's nuts. So just kind of talk about what that was like. Just that having that high production in high school.
I have to – it's not like – it was high production. Like, our offense scored a lot of points. But, like, it was also a lot – Stephen Barmore that year when I was a junior, he was the quarterback. He went to Yale. He was unbelievable. He was one of those guys who, like, at the end of practice was going to, like, go watch film with the coaches for, like, 2 hours. Like, he was just on – he knew everything and, like, just knew where to look. He knew his reads. Like, there's a whole I don't know everything about quarterback, but he just knew everything to know. Like, he knew the line, the blocking. He just made sure everyone had the word I'm looking for is like QB, like the poise, I think I'm looking for. Like, he has that like composure where he's like just he has all the confidence. He's making sure you're good over here, we're good over here. Like,
right.
He's just able to take control and he just put the ball a lot of times like right in my hands. I know I made some like run after catch and whatever, but like I have to give so much credit to him because he just really set me up for success. He's like, I want to throw you the ball. Like, I want to get you the ball. So I'm like, I did everything I could to possibly get open. I would always say this to my guys now, running every route thinking that you're going to get the ball, because whether you're opening someone else up, or, you know, catching a touchdown yourself, it's important because, like, say you got the hitch on the smash, you know, but then the guy, like, half-asses the hitch. But in reality, you're kind of screwing the guy next to you because that cover two corner, he sees that you're running a weak hitch. He's just going to bail out and try to jump that corner. It could be interception for you. So it's just, like, doing little things like that. And those guys, that receiving corps that year, Kyle Browski, Joe Daigle, and Matt Maxwell a little bit. We had a couple guys floating around, but those guys, like, sold out for me, and I sold out for them. So they put me in good situations too. And that's all at skill positions, but the linemen as well. We did have a good line. A couple of them went to go play. John Roush went to go play college ball. I think Carlos Gill could have. Sal Conti, you know, he's about 160 pounds at our center position. So we had a good team, and just it wasn't a one-man show as much as it seemed like the stats were that way and whatever. I was always trying to be, like, super humble about it. Like, always get with my teammates. Like, don't be that guy that's I, like, because it's – nothing happens by yourself. It's a team game. And one thing I say all the time on offense, I'm talking to the – just trying to get the guys lined up, whatever, like, everyone has to do the right thing on the field for the play to be successful. When, like, one side, like, on defense, like, one guy can make the play and make everyone look great. But on offense, like, you get one guy jumping off sides and boom, the whole play, you just screwed your offense. You're first and 15 now. So it's a team game, and we really had an amazing team that year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun year to be a part of.
Yeah, and elaborating on your high school career a little bit, what do those two state championships feel like? I was on the sideline for one of them, concussed, but so I need your point of view for that.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this the other day, because me and Coach Drew were talking. The second state championship, the 2015, just I wish we could have. It's kind of like – there was two state championships for every division that year.
It was that messed up year. I remember that.
Yeah. So it was division double L large, division double L small. Like, so we didn't really get that chance to play Xavier, and they won the state championship off of, like, or Shelton. I would have played either one of them. I would have loved to, because
we would have beat them anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter, but, like, still, just, like, I wish we had that team. Like, that team, I will say, I think is better than the 2013 team or 2014 because just to, like, piss those guys off. But we did have a really good team that year, and I was like, I don't think we were losing to even, like, prep schools that year. We were really dominant, like, on offense. Everyone was touching the ball. Jay Rose was that quarterback, the man amongst boys, like, you know, there was no one stopping us that year.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The other year, when we played prep, that was pretty insane. I mean, running on the field, seeing these guys that are like Boston College linemen and Fordham linemen, like these dudes that are weighing like 300-something pounds. And we had our heaviest lineman was what, like 230 maybe? You know? So that was crazy. But, like, I was like getting into the game, and, like, we played hard, and, like, we did what we had to do to, like, bounce back second half. But that, a lot of that had to do with coaching, too. We had freaking Rob Thompson calling our defense second half, changes up our whole defensive plan and stops, like, the whole QB run sweep option, whatever they were doing, and kind of contained Nick Kroll, that defensive lineman that – he's a defensive lineman at Yale, and he was running the ball. He actually gave me a concussion that game. But he was a force. He probably weighed 290 himself as a ball carrier.
Yeah.
So, two crazy years for sure.
I just remember the second state championship. It was your touchdown when you put that kid on skates, and then you were wide open in the back of the end zone, and you didn't even move. Like, you just caught it, and you stood there. I remember Coach Nate was on the sideline, and he, like, was going nuts.
Yeah, that was – that kid actually – remember that quarterback, Juwan Johnson?
Yeah.
That guy was covering me. He actually ended up at California.
Really?
University of Cal as a wide receiver.
Really?
I was surprised by that. I didn't. But, yeah, that kid, I don't know. He wasn't a very good corner, but he was a good athlete.
So, going from a receiver standpoint, I mean, you know, I played under you, and you know, every day of practice, watching you run your routes, I'm like, I don't know how this dude does it every day. But what is your favorite route to run? I got to know.
It depends who's throwing me the ball, to be honest.
Like, all right, Barmore.
His fade route.
Jay.
Probably the comeback for Jay.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be comeback.
What about in college?
Comebacks are like a really – is a route that, like – if you could, like, understand it more, you could, like, really be successful with it. Because, like, once you get to that, like, so we run it, like, 15 back to 12 or, like, somewhere in that range. You just got to get to that, like, 15 to, like, 12-yard range. where you could really influence that corner to think you're running like a different route, and then you just get left wide open. So it's like, and the quarterback knows you're going to be breaking, like he just puts it out there for you. Jay was so good at that. So yeah, for sure. Definitely comeback and fade, my two favorite.
I remember at practice, every time you would run the comeback, you would always run it, but you would open up.
Yeah.
Come back to the ball. And I remember Coach Jerry would always have a fit. He's like, God damn it. You got to come back to it. You can't open up.
I actually got in trouble for that in college too. But who taught me that was Gary Coles, was my receivers coach. And that's what he did at Sacred Heart. It's basically like a reverse opening. And I was like really good at doing that and like using some pass interference, like off, like using your forearm off their hip. So I really mastered that. So that's just what I got comfortable with. And I don't know. I just thought I could see like more of the field. Cause I always like was worried about like who I can't see on the field, like hitting me from behind, like making me fumble or something crazy. Like, you know,
I honestly like running. I like it ran that way better too myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's easier to throw, I feel like, as well.
Yeah. That's how we run them at Nichols.
Yeah, I think I can't convince Coach Jerry to do that Sonnington, but some guys like to do it.
If it makes you feel any better, Al, I, you know, watching you those years, you know, you playing above me. At college, I would run it the same way you did in high school, and I would get yelled at the same way Coach Jerry yelled at you. Our offense coordinator, Coach Shaw, would yell at me every time. He's like, you're not running right. And I go, I don't care. I'm like, Mike likes it. I get open. I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand. I don't understand, but just kind of like, you almost have to run it to understand it, because the way that you push out, and you have like, so if you're running from the right side of the ball, you're at the, like the X position and you're running it. And you have your whole right, your whole left side of the field wide open. After you do that little push off, after you get out of your break, like you could see everything else. So it's like, it's not necessarily a comeback, cause you're not like tiptoeing off the sideline, but like, you're kind of like being able to catch it and like run after catch, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like more like that, I think.
So I got another question for you. Did you feel you left your legacy at SHS? And are you satisfied with it?
You know, one thing that bothers me is that, not that like I wanted more for myself, like I feel like us as a team kind of got like, kind of, it wasn't really fair that they had that, the Cochran rule at the time. It can't beat people by more than 50 points.
Yeah.
You're able to see people that, I mean, if you beat someone by like 65, 70 points, then, you know, they got their ass kicked. They deserved it. And you could see scores like in Texas get run up to like 110 points or like something crazy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But situations where like my senior year, I didn't even really get to play a full game. I played like maybe a half, and like we're already up by four touchdowns. And so you're not going to, and you have like guys like purposely going down. Like, I think that's just like that part of the game is just not necessary. And then of course, you know, after the year after I left, they got rid of that rule. But like, I just think that was a horrible rule to have. And not to mention, like, we did break some records, like with some points and whatever, but like, we could have really dominated some records and done some serious things for the, I don't know. I'm happy with everything I did, of course. And I'll never take it for granted. Like I would do it again all over any day. You know, I would take all the concussions that I had. I would do it all over again. But I mean, obviously that bothers me sometimes.
Yeah. That rule, and what Coach Jerry would get suspended if we went over 50 points or whatever.
Yeah, state championship game. We've beaten them 49-0. On the extra point. Otherwise, our coach would get suspended for the first game next year. That's ridiculous. What are we going to let them score so we can score again? That's not how you play football. Like, we had a good defense, so that's the reason why they didn't score. We weren't going to just let them score so we could score more points. So, I don't know, that bothered me. Because I look at this thing and I look at the scores. You know what I mean? The scores are right on here. I'm just like, okay, we scored 52 against, you know, NFA could have been 72 easily.
Yeah.
But
no, exactly.
Whatever.
And talk about your recruiting process a little. How'd that go for you? Like, when did it kind of pick up? What type of offers did you have? Stuff like that.
Actually, my recruiting process was horrible. Just like they tell you, I was miserable the whole time. Just, you know, I was set. I was one of those kids that was like set on getting a scholarship. I need a scholarship. I don't want my parents to have to pay for my school. Like, I feel like I'm, you know, athletically gifted enough where I can earn one. And so my junior year, I did all those, scored all those touchdowns, did all that. We had a great year. I'm expecting all these scholarships to start flowing in. And then I had one scholarship from Colgate. And then, so they offered me a full ride my junior year. And I was like super happy, super excited. I thought they'd all be flowing in now, you know what I mean? Like, I just got my first scholarship. I could start telling other schools, like, hey, they offered me, like, you know, what can you do for me? But in reality, it didn't really pick up that much. I got a lot of attention from like D2 schools, and I really did try everything I could to reach out to these schools that I wanted to go to. Like, I went to all the 1 day camps so all the coaches could see me, and I dominated every one-on-one drill that I did with any corner at any camp. But, you know, I'm not the fastest 40 guy. I was running like some camps I ran like a 4.8. Next camp, you run like a 4.75. Like, so it was just tough. Like, if you weren't running like a 4.5 as a wide receiver, like, these big schools don't even really want to even look at you, especially when you're like 5'11", 180. So my recruiting process actually was horrible in that situation. Like, I'm out there grinding with all these guys that are studs and trying to earn my spot. And in reality, it never really happened. But then towards the end of my recruiting process, Central, D1 AA, had a meeting with me and Matt Maxwell, who I actually committed there with. They offered us half scholarships each, like, so a full one between us. And so we were going to room together, and we jumped on that because that was our best opportunity of, you know, just trying to get playing good football, like really good football, and just getting our school paid for. So, because I ended up losing the Colgate scholarship, I waited too long. So, that opportunity passed by. I knew I didn't want to go there, but that was just something. But that was like basically one of my last opportunities to play college football was when Central came in and offered me. So, at the level that I wanted to play, where I can. They could pay for my school and that, where, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. So on the field, how was your transition from high school ball to college ball?
It was interesting, you know, being the number one guy, like number one target, and then going to play my freshman year after the guy broke his leg, just hopping right in there. It was different. The guy didn't want to throw me the ball, didn't trust me. Like, he didn't really know what I was about. He didn't know that I was going to go up there and make that one-on-one catch for him. Like, he didn't know what kind of player I was. So, like, that transition of being wide open and not getting the ball a lot of times, you know what I mean, in certain situations, that's really frustrating. But one thing between high school and college is definitely the speed. The speed of the game is probably twice as fast. Maybe, you know, I don't know how to judge it, but it's, you got guys out there that could, you're not the, like, I'm not the fastest guy out there anymore. Not a chance. There's guys out there that can move, and not to mention the receivers, the quarterbacks, the DBs, the linemen can move too. So, like, I had an experience against one early experience against Dartmouth. I think it might have been my third game. I got one of my, like, first call is called for me. I was like, I got a screen. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm trying to get this ball. I'm trying to do something special with it. I get the ball, and I'm inside. It's like a pocket screen, so I'm coming back in the line of scrimmage, and I had my hands on the ball. And next thing you know, I'm kind of in open field, and these Dartmouth D lineman chasing down after me, punches the ball out from behind me. So, like, I never had a lineman come catch me, you know. So, just the speed of the game is pretty crazy. You know, it's pretty crazy how, you know, the difference of the speed. It's just crazy. I didn't really know how to take it. I didn't know how to adjust. But as you go on and practice with it a little bit, it gets better and better. But I didn't really have the longest career in college. So seeing it for as long as I did, I appreciate it because I coach high school football now. And I see how much slower the game is rather than when I was actually playing in college, and it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Kind of going off of that, what made you get into coaching yourself?
Well, I had a short career in college because I ended up getting too many concussions. I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to risk it for my own personal health and mental health. And I still wanted to be around the game because I was at Central. I had my last concussion. I couldn't do anything. I still wanted to be a part of the program. So I was videotaping for the team and I was doing this. I was trying to help out. I was on the field a little bit, like with the guys, and I was kind of coaching them up a little bit, but like they knew me. So like they couldn't really take my coaching as a person yet. But I kind of got into it after I got hurt. And then, luckily, that summer, Coach Drury asked me if I wanted to be the wide receivers coach, and I was ecstatic. I couldn't be happier. So that's just how it kind of folded out.
Right.
But I love it. I never thought I would really be a coach. I didn't plan on it. Although my dad was a coach for a little bit. He was my youth coach, like I said, but it was never the plan, but I really do enjoy it. I'm happy I'm doing it, and I'm happy I have the opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Do you see yourself kind of moving up at all, coaching, whether becoming like offense coordinator, head coach, anything like that?
Yeah, I thought about it, but like, so being a head, I've seen what Coach Drury does. These guys know he's just an absolute madman. And just crazy. He just got so much on his plate. Being a head coach is just so crazy in so many ways. You're responsible for all these guys to do all these things and have a great team, but also, you know, partake and do stuff in town and still like have a good, you have, you know, so head coach is definitely kind of out of the question for until I can get a little bit and like have some more wisdom or whatever, but maybe like offensive coordinator one day would be cool. A lot of the times when we were in high school, I would call the plays that I would score on to Steve. I would tell him, or I would tell Gary what play I wanted. I'd be like, hey, I want this. And then he would call it in, and next thing you know, we'd score. So like, I always had a love for play calling, and JV this year I was coaching, doing the offensive coordinating, calling the plays for the JV game. So that was cool. Good experience. You know, I like to do it. It's fun.
Did you change up the play call in the JV games? No more bubbles and inside zone?
Well, we got to have the bubbles off the zone. We got our bubbles off the zone still. But yeah, we would call zone like five times in a row. These guys would get pissed. They're just running bubbles every play. But
yeah,
I mean, that's what we had to do on JV. We can't be calling these motions and having these guys jump off sides. Like, that's, you know, that kill your whole drive. You just got to play plays. So, mm-hmm. You definitely got to call a little bit different, a lot simpler. But, like, that's how you learn how to call plays. So, it's like you got to start somewhere. And it's been a great experience for me working with those guys, too. So,
what's your favorite concept to call?
Favorite concept? Pop, like the Y pop.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we have our basically it could be from attached or not attached. You got your tight end, your Y, or you got your H could run it to H pop. Just like the play fake with the ball, the quarterback quick play fake, and he's watching that tight end just like kind of coming over to like where the bill or the outside linebacker would be, and just seeing if he is going to play number two, or rather if he's going to go blitz or something. If he goes in blitz, he pulls it quick, throws it. Like,